You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee meets today for one of the most highly anticipated sessions in a long time.
It's been rumored, well, for a very long time, that the Fed will cut interest rates. The central bank could do that by the time it adjourns tomorrow, now that it's declared high inflation all but defeated. And that could make borrowing more affordable from Wall Street to Main Street.
ABC's Daria Albinger. Gas prices just keep dropping. The government says its national average price for regular is down 5.5 cents in the past week to $3.18 a gallon. Almost 70 cents less than last year at this time. Entertainment mogul Sean Combs in custody in New York City after a string of sex assault lawsuits. He was arrested last night after a federal grand jury indicted him on charges that will be unsealed later today. Combs' lawyer calls the prosecution unjust and that Combs is not a criminal. This is ABC News. A federal judge set a September 30th trial date for voting machine company Smartmatic's defamation lawsuit against Newsmax.
Florida-based Smartmatic says the hosts and guests on the conservative cable news outlet Newsmax made false and defamatory statements in the weeks following the 2020 election, implying that the company had used its software to somehow rig the results. This is one of several defamation suits Smartmatic has filed. Fox News agreed to pay a record $787 million in a similar suit against Dominion Voting Systems, again for false claims about the election that Donald Trump lost. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Police dispatchers in Dover, Delaware are being lauded for helping direct rescuers to a boat foundering in the English Channel, thousands of miles away, by a man who thought he was calling emergency personnel in Dover, England. In a little more than 15 minutes, Delaware was able to contact England and get them moving on a rescue. Everyone aboard was safely returned to Dover, England. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
You feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we'll take your phone calls, ask what's grinding your gears, and more of our Text to Win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today with a high near 85. Clear tonight, a low of 57. Sunny and low 80s for Wednesday and Thursday. For Friday, mostly sunny. We'll have a high around 83. For Saturday, 81 and a chance of rain by Saturday night. That's weather from Severe Studios.
Right now, it's 55.
Mino and the mayor. It happened this morning.
Again.
You guys walked in, and I didn't notice, but right away, Jim noticed you both were wearing shirts that were very similar. Jim had a salmon shirt on,
yeah,
and yours is a little bit more to the red side.
A little more burgundy-ish. Yep. Rose.
Yep.
Rose, yeah.
And so Jim actually changed his shirt.
Yes. I'm like, I'm changing.
Mino and the mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Dom Selvia.
Next time, is your employer discriminating against you for your adult content creations? And John Nichols from The Nation Magazine and The Cap Times. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
In the AM.
The Zone.
Good morning on this Tuesday, September 17th. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report, and it is looking like it is going to be another warm week with highs today around 86 and lots of sun. We'll hear more about that forecast in a few minutes with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Today, we will also hear from John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, and he's going to explain what he has been seeing in the markets over the last few weeks with harvest right around the corner. Also, the World Beef Expo is coming up this weekend, and the president of the event, Cody Quam, explains what can be expected from the event. And with school coming back in full force now, Charity Seebecker talks to Mike Orth, the dean of UW River Falls College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences, about programs picking up steam and interesting change of demographics being seen in the ag programs. All of this is coming up soon, so make sure to stay tuned in.
Football players are equipped with standard equipment, helmet, shoulder pads, and cleats. What if the entire front line was issued Bobcat equipment from Bobcat Plus? Not only would the game be more interesting, the added Bobcat attachments would make cleanup and turf grooming so much easier for the groundskeeper.
Visit Bobcat Plus in Appleton and BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Wisconsin is known for its incredible variety of cheese, and no event showcases that better than Cheese Fair Off the Square. Rachel Kerr, Vice President of Brand Marketing for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, highlights the excitement and diversity that makes this event stand out. From discovering new favorites to experiencing the artistry behind cheesemaking, attendees will have the chance to explore the best of Wisconsin's cheesemakers.
It's crazy how much people just want to try everything they possibly can. I mean, last year there were people who spent well over an hour just making their way around to all the tents, trying every cheese, trying to figure out which one, you know, was maybe their new favorite. And I think that's what's so unique and so special about Wisconsin is that we have so much variety. We have so many different products by makers that are just doing different things. And this is a chance for us to let people explore that and be excited about what's coming out of the state and explore and taste the innovation and the new products and the different flavors and the artistry that goes into cheese making.
Learn more at wisconsindairy.org. With the fall semester underway, UW River Falls College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences is ready for another year of hands-on education, shaping the next generation of agricultural leaders. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And even though enrollment hasn't changed much, CAF's Dean Mike Orth shares that interest in important agriculture programs is picking up.
So basically in the last couple of years, the enrollment in the college looks like it's been about flat. So no real big changes. The most popular majors we have are going to be our companion animal science and equine science. And we started an environmental engineering program. And although the numbers are small, those numbers are increasing as well. Maybe a little bit of a downturn recently in the ag economics area. Other than that, most of the programs have been staying fairly steady.
So which agriculture-related majors then are currently the most popular among your incoming students? You mentioned you've got a lot of these trends that you're seeing, but are those trends with just your current students or those that are incoming as well?
Yeah, so I would say it's been, well, the companion animal science program is relatively new. I would say in the last eight years or so. But that is really a popular program, in particular because a lot of the pre-vet students are interested in companion animals, especially because we get a lot of students from the Twin Cities area, Minneapolis, and a lot of them don't have the farm background. They want to be a vet, so they tend to have more of an interest in dogs and cats. And again, the equine program, being the only one in the state, we're the only school that has an equine farm, that's been very popular. And in particular, with a new program that started, is we have a ranch horse program and kind of group that's gotten going, and that's very popular across the country right now. So those in particular have garnered a lot of interest.
You also have the farm and industry short course there. So how are those numbers looking for this year?
The farm and industry short course, so we've done it for 1 year now. We had nine in the first group, nine participants. Six of them actually graduated. For this coming year in October, we're going to have at least 12, if not more. And we expect those numbers to go up. We didn't really have much support financially in the first year, but we now have some support that's been set aside, and we have the professional dairy producers that's getting behind the program, and we look to do more marketing and advertising. So we expect the numbers to go up this year, but then in the next couple years to increase considerably.
You highlighted one of your newer programs, but are there any other new programs or majors being introduced this year or plans for future programs that kind of align with these trends that you mentioned?
Right. So I mentioned a little bit about the environmental engineering is relatively new. It's an accredited program. The other one we just had approved was community and environmental planning. It was part of another program, and that's kind of branching off on its own. So we have a faculty member who's very excited about it, getting that up and running. Again, we think that program could garner a lot of interest. So that's our most recent program that we've started.
Have you noticed any shifts in the demographics of the students that are enrolling in agriculture programs at UW-River Falls, maybe even just more students from urban areas versus rural, or what are you seeing?
Well, I think there are more from urban areas. I will tell you right now, the big shift we have is the number of males that are going to college, and in particular from rural areas. And I think part of that is, well, there's probably a couple things going on, but, you know, the overall number of high school students that are graduating is going down. But in particular, males are not attending college at the same rate. It's not bad for them in the sense a lot of them are getting their community college degrees, they're going to trade schools, they're developing certain skills, and so they're getting into the workforce earlier. So they're not taking the time to get the four-year degree, but maybe a two-year degree of some specialties and going that route. So really, the big demographic shift that's been happening for a while now, and really you can see it in agriculture, is fewer males going to get a four-year degree.
We talked about the different majors, but I'm curious then, with this shift that you're seeing, what majors are they gravitating to?
So they would be more like on the animal science side. They would be the engineering group. Some would be in the plant nurse sciences. You would not see them in the pre-vet group. You would not see them in the companion animal science group. So they would be, you would find them more in the traditional ag-type programs, the male students who are coming.
And how are graduates being prepared for the workforce? How are they standing out compared to other graduates from across Wisconsin?
Well, the good thing is our students are very well prepared. That, you know, one of the focuses in the college, and one of the reasons I was excited when I came here as the dean, was that the college really focuses on experiential learning. And that's a big part of it. And, you know, that takes many different shapes and forms. But from a standpoint, our students are very well prepared for the workforce. I've had, in my short time here, the number of people that I've met from the industry that just love hiring River Falls students, they just feel like they're very well prepared to work. And so our students do quite well. And our students do not have problems getting a job. The other thing, if you come here and you look at, we have an internship board, we have more opportunities for internships than we have students. So I think that's a really good sign that the college is doing something right in terms of getting our students ready for their careers. They're, like I said, the students have no problem finding jobs. I mean, we've got, and if you think about it, a lot of the companies that want our students as interns, well, the big thing about doing internships is that's basically a way that they can interview a student over a long period of time. So a lot of the hope is for a lot of these companies is that they'll have a student do an internship. If it goes well, that they'll come and work for them. So, you know, we have way more opportunities than students that we have for it. So, yeah, in the ag business kind of area and all the, you know, all the industries that are connected to it, there are right now there's no issue finding a job.
And what role do student organizations and the clubs play and that educational experience that these agriculture students are getting at UW River Falls?
I think they're critical. I think they're they offer a lot of things that you can't necessarily get in the classroom. You get to develop a lot of your interpersonal skills more so than you might in the classroom. You get to network. You get to visit, you know, depending on the club, you might visit, you know, certain industries during that time. The kinds of activities you're involved in prepare you well. I will also add, too, we have competitive teams. And being involved on a competitive team, whether it's an equestrian team or rodeo team or a judging team, all of those types of activities, I think, are the other side of the education experience, besides just being in the classroom, that really helps the personal development and the professional development of our students. So I think they're critical. In fact, we want our students to get involved in a club or an organization or a competitive team or undergraduate research, because it'll just enhance their experience and just make them that much more marketable. You know, I think it's a challenging time in the state. I think the demographic shift that's taken place is a challenge, that fewer students graduating from high school. But, you know, when you take a look at the, you know, what the college has to offer, it's pretty unique. There's only 3 agricultural colleges in the state. And, you know, we're, you know, up in the, you know, kind of northern western part of the state. I mean, we have an outreach not only to Wisconsin, but to Minnesota. And so even in some challenging times, I think we're well positioned and have a unique role to play. And I think we can continue to contribute in the agricultural industry, which, even though the demographics are shifting, agriculture is always going to be in taking care of the environment, which is also a big part of the environmental sciences, is a big part of the college. I mean, those are always going to be important areas as you're moving forward.
As the new semester unfolds, it's clear that UW River Falls is buzzing with excitement and opportunity. And the dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences, Mike Orth, says he and his team are ready to guide students through another fantastic year. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Jake Vanderplas from DC Farm for Vets joins us in studio to wrap up this season at the farm.
And Mac Hageman is in from NBC 26 for our weekly neighborhood focus feature. Join us.
Weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
There. I'm here, Ben.
What have you been seeing recently?
Well,
the heat.
I've been seeing a lot of warm temperatures. You know, it didn't take long from the soybeans were starting to turn here a week or so ago to leaves have dropped off, and things are looking like the crops are drying down. We know that as we work on the harvest. Heat temperatures well above normal. We should be in the low and mid 70s for highs now. Sunday, upper 80s, a 90 at Western Wisconsin, mid 80s yesterday. Today, again, mid and upper 80s. We're just not going to change much. The big blocking high out to the east is going to hold activity away from moving into our area. Talking about a low in Montana, a system that really could bring along some cooler and more wet weather. It's just not going to be able to push into the area. The low still holds out in Montana. There is some rain off the northwest corner of Minnesota, west central, southwest Minnesota, northwest Iowa. It won't make its way to Wisconsin. We expect to stay warm and dry. It's not until late this week when some rain chance may begin to edge on in. And I think in the far western edge of the state, it may happen very late Thursday afternoon or more likely on toward Friday, the further you head to the east, before a little shower chance will begin to edge on in. And at that time, a couple to tenths of an inch of rain, maybe a quarter inch the way it looks right now. But we will have some rain chance heading toward the end of the week. And the temperatures will cool off somewhat. Still, I expect to be on the above normal side in the mid and upper 70s right into early next week as well. So the warmth is around. It won't be quite so warm here later on. But the summer weather does stick around even as we officially start fall come Sunday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story Contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
All right, Stu, tell us what the forecast is looking like for the rest of the week.
Absolutely, Ben. We still have very warm conditions in store here for this Tuesday, and I expect mid and upper 80s, warmest in the east and southeast, coolest the northwest, of course, lots of sunshine and winds out of the south, only about 5. We'll stay clear. You can see that full moon again tonight, and I expect we drop back into the lower 50s, maybe 54 or 55, a warm spot in the south. The southeast winds will still be about 5. The sunshine returns Wednesday. Fog a possibility in far eastern Wisconsin early tomorrow. I'd expect temps again in the mid-80s, maybe low 80s in the northwest. Southeast winds at 5. Sunny Thursday, mid-80s. That slight rain chance far western Wisconsin late Thursday. And toward Friday, we may all talk about a little scattered shower activity. Could even be a late-day isolated thunderstorm. But again, I don't expect this to be a lot of rain, a tenth of an inch or two, up to a quarter inch. That could be about the extent. I think we'll all agree we probably could use the rain. It's going to help to moisten things up a bit, at least keep some dust down as we head on through the end of this week. And we've got a lot of time to get work done before that rain gets here, Ben. So still working out to be a pretty good, very late summer week.
And that dust has been pretty rough recently. What should farmers do to make sure that their equipment stays good?
Well, we're going to have to do a lot of cleanup, blow that thing off every day before you get out and going or when you get in at the nighttime so we can cut back on any fire danger as well. So,
all right. Thank you, Stu. For the Midwest Farm Report. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke,
where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee meets today for one of the most highly anticipated sessions in a long time.
It's been rumored, well, for a very long time, that the Fed will cut interest rates. The central bank could do that by the time it adjourns tomorrow, now that it's declared high inflation all but defeated. And that could make borrowing more affordable from Wall Street to Main Street.
ABC's Daria Albinger. Gas prices just keep dropping. The government says its national average price for regular is down 5.5 cents in the past week to $3.18 a gallon. Almost 70 cents less than last year at this time. Entertainment mogul Sean Combs in custody in New York City after a string of sex assault lawsuits. He was arrested last night after a federal grand jury indicted him on charges that will be unsealed later today. Combs' lawyer calls the prosecution unjust and that Combs is not a criminal. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Enrollment at the Universities of Wisconsin has grown to nearly 164,000 students this fall, the highest total since 2020. Eight campuses saw higher enrollments, but some of that growth was impacted by some two-year branch campuses closing. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance campaigns in Wisconsin Tuesday. James Kelly reports.
The rally is scheduled for 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon. The Eau Claire Event District also hosted a rally for Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz shortly after his introduction to the ticket. It's the second visit that Senator Vance has made to Eau Claire since joining former President Trump on the Republican ticket. I'm James Kelly.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to speak in Madison Friday night. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Quarterbacks in the state of Wisconsin have had some misfortune this fall. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Badgers quarterback Tyler Van Dyke will miss the rest of the season after tearing his ACL in Saturday's loss to Alabama. Braden Locke will take over behind center for Wisconsin. The Badgers are off until a week from Saturday when they take on USC. The Packers also lost their quarterback in the opener when Jordan Love was hurt late in that game. He also missed Sunday's game against the Colts. Coach Matt LaFleur said that Love's return will strictly be a medical decision and that Love can play even without practicing this week, although LaFleur said he'd prefer Love get in some work. The Brewers got two home runs from Willie Adames and took down Philadelphia 6-2 on Monday. With the win, the Brewers can clinch a division title and a playoff berth today with a win and a Chicago Cubs loss. Milwaukee gets the Phillies again this afternoon in Game 2 of a 7-game homestand that also includes Arizona. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusca with Civic Media Sports.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our statewide Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest continues, and we debut a completely legitimate and totally real new attack ad. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today with a high near 85. Clear tonight, a low of 57. Sunny and low 80s for Wednesday and Thursday. For Friday, mostly sunny. We'll have a high around 83. For Saturday, 81 and a chance of rain by Saturday night. That's weather from Severe Studios.
Right now, it's 55.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Two updates on state stories we've covered recently. In Pennsylvania, where its high court invalidated ballots with missing or inaccurate dates, and Alaska, where the Alaska Native population is organizing against a repeal of open primaries and ranked choice voting. September 13th, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's highest court overturned an August 30th unanimous decision by the lower Commonwealth Court that mail-in ballots lacking a date or an invalid date must be counted. The Republican National Committee and state Republicans appealed, and the Supreme Court booted the case not on the merits, but on a technicality. In 2022, 8,500 voters' ballots were affected, and democracy groups are asking for an immediate hearing on the merits. As a result of the ruling, Pennsylvanians will need to be very careful when filling out their mail-in ballots to make sure their vote will count. The Alaska Federation of Natives is organizing to defeat Measure 2, a far-right-backed repeal of the state's ranked-choice voting and single-ballot open primary system. Bolts Magazine reports that with Alaska's long voter suppression history of Natives, RCV and open primaries give Native candidates a chance to compete. Mary Petola became the first Native Alaskan elected to Congress in 2022. The GOP blames the loss on the use of ranked choice voting. We have links to more on both stories at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
from the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Keeping the tabs on Wisconsin Twitter after a win or a loss.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is Tuesday, September 17th, and I am Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. It's looking like it's going to be a decent day to get out on the water and get after some bass. The bass activity should be fair today, with top bite times between 11:30 this morning and 1:30 this afternoon. I would look to target fish around docks, creek entrances, and drop-offs in around 8 to 10 feet of water. My top bait suggestions for today would be a square-billed crankbait, maybe a little bit of topwater like a frog or a whopper plopper, and a finesse-style bait like maybe a football jig or the always trustworthy wacky rig. The World Beef Expo is coming up this weekend, and we have Cody Quam, the president of the expo, here to give some information on this event that takes place during Harvest Fair.
World Beef Expo is a livestock exposition and trade show event that we have every year in September at the State Fairgrounds in West Allis, Wisconsin. This year we're featuring 32 different breeds of beef cattle from 14 different states.
And when will this event be taking place?
This year, we are September 19th through Sunday the 22nd.
What are the events that should be expected to take place at this year's World Beef Expo?
We have 500 exhibitors with over 1,000 head of cattle coming from these 14 states to compete in the cattle judging. And that takes place starting Thursday afternoon and all day Friday for the open show, culminating with our Supreme Drive for Supreme Heifer, Supreme Cow Calf, and Supreme Bull of the open show on Friday evening. And then Saturday we roll into and what we start what we call our junior weekend. We start in the morning first thing with our collegiate and high school or grade school judging contest. We got college teams from all over the country coming in for an elite experience of judging high-end beef cattle. Then we roll in the afternoon into our showmanship competition for all the kids that want to partake in that. So far, we got 300 kids signed up to do showmanship. And Saturday night, we roll into our prospect market steer and market steer show. We do that Saturday evening, picking a top five in both. And then Sunday, we finish up the weekend with our junior heifer show, which takes all day Sunday, showing about 450 head of junior heifers for the kids. We finish up there that Sunday afternoon.
For first-timers attending this event, what are some of the things that you believe they should go check out?
Well, I'd for sure want everybody to check out our trade show. We have multiple vendors with multiple different things, and you know, that are for the agricultural enthusiast and beef cattle lover.
What are some of the youth activities that are being highlighted this year at the expo?
Well, they can do the judging contest, and you do not have to be an animal exhibitor to partake in the showmanship. If you can find somebody to borrow you an animal to take into showmanship, you're more than welcome to come and do that. Those are, two big things for the junior kids this year.
What is some information that attendees should know before they come out to the expo?
There is no paid admittance. It's free entrance. Just have to pay State Fair their parking fee and come and enjoy. And, there's nothing. I mean, we're open from noon on Wednesday to Sunday afternoon.
Cody Quam, the president of the World Beef Expo, says that this is the 32nd year of the event. This free event coincides with the Harvest Fair, and there is sure to be something for everyone who wants to experience a bit of the world of being a beef producer. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and here are your markets. The grain markets took a bit of a hit yesterday, with wheat getting hit the hardest as they were pushed down 14 to 17 cents. But it looks like the grain's going to try to come back today. December corn is up a half at 4.11 and a quarter. September soybeans are also coming back a tiny bit, up a quarter at 10.04 and three quarters. December wheat is seeing a little bit more strength this morning, up 3.25 at 5.81 and three quarters. But Class 3 milk contracts ended down yesterday as October contracts were trading at 23.64 hundredweight, which was no change. Class 3 milk contracts for November we're at 23.04 hundredweight, down 36 cents. Barrels of cheese ended up a half a cent higher at 249. 40-pound blocks of cheese ended up 2.5 cents higher at 230. But unfortunately, butters took a hit as it was down 6 cents at 307.
Jessica Sarbacher joins us. She's the vice president and crop insurance manager with Lake Ridge Bank, covering the southern half of Wisconsin. She tells us what your options are if your plans had to change between planting season and the harvest. But first, she tells us who is filing crop insurance claims this year.
This year, we had a lot of claims early on, like you said, prevent plant, replant. We have had a lot of claims already this year, but the acres that got planted look pretty good. So we're actually anticipating pretty good yields. And if we have claims and where we have claims, it's going to be on the revenue side of things because of how commodity prices have come down since February. It's been a slight or a decline in price since the February base price for crop insurance was set. So those with a revenue protection policy, depending on how their yield is, may have a claim because of the price coming down. But as far as yield only, we're not anticipating many claims on corn and soybeans because the yields are looking to be pretty good right now.
Jessica, do you have any numbers for us where you could compare this year with last year?
You know, when it comes to the revenue side of things, it is actually setting up to be very similar to last year. Last year, we had a significant drop in commodity prices as well when we went from February to October. And so that did throw, I'd say, about 30% of our customers into having claims last year, and we're anticipating similar this year. I do think from what we're hearing so far on corn silage yields and things that maybe the yields are even are a little bit better than they were last year. So that might mean a few less claims, even on the revenue side, because the yield might come in so good. We did have an August drought, so we'll see what that means for the soybeans. I know there's some definite concern out there of, did we take the very top end yield off with that drought in August on the beans? And there's still, of course, what disease pressure is out there. So that can come in late season and really change the yields quickly.
If you're thinking about putting in winter wheat, your crop insurance deadline is September 30th. The planting deadline is October 10th. If you're in the northern half of the state, it's October 15th for southern Wisconsin. Jessica Sarbacher is a vice president and crop insurance manager at Lake Ridge Bank. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Coming up next is John Heinberg, farm marketer with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Make sure you stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey!
pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show to discuss the Emmys. And I welcome comedian, TV host, and creator of the Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel.
Nightlight with T. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Yesterday, I was over in the Waukesha area visiting Glenwyn Hill Farms, talking with them about their community-supported agriculture. And one thing I really noticed, and I hope farmers are definitely paying attention to, you need to protect yourself from all of the dust that is being created while you're harvesting. Yesterday, I was noticing that there's chopper boxes that are kicking up all kinds of dust. That not only risks your health, but it also risks your machinery. Check those air filters. And let's not get too confident that our machineries aren't going to potentially be possible fire targets, too. I mean, it's hot and dry out there. If it's a combine, you know that if you're doing wheat, that's a real threat. Well, with it as dry as it is outside, you could definitely see some of the same. So, again, kind of take care of yourself and make sure that you're also kind of monitoring that equipment that you're going to be depending on once you get started for quite a little while. Like Stu said, we don't really have anything in the way of measurable rain coming in anytime soon. Talk text line is open, as Ben pointed out to you earlier. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. I'll try to rally up John Heinberg here in a moment.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world. To integrate a global ag and energy supply chain. To advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
All right. Tired of talking about the weather, let's talk about the markets. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, joining us live this morning. So, John, I guess we do still kind of have to talk about the weather. The harvest is rolling on, although Wisconsin is exceptionally dry and dusty. What are you hearing from elsewhere as a kind of getting more harvest numbers?
Yeah, you know, harvest is starting to pick up. Corn 9%, soybeans at 6%. So we're starting to see the things move a little bit more northerly as the obviously we're into the middle of September, and the weather obviously is very friendly right now, at least in terms of drying this crop down, getting guys in the fields, getting things done. You know, so we'll see that pressure probably start coming into the marketplace a little bit more as we get further and further into those numbers. You know, but this dry weather that we've been seeing, and you know, obviously with the warmer temperatures, I think it's helping a lot of farmers out lately and some of the expense side of it, hearing guys pulling corn off the fields, and they're sitting right around that 18% moisture window, so not a lot of wet corn coming in at this time frame. Everything we're hearing, though, in terms of yields, at least in the areas that, you know, we've been talking to guys, things are pretty doggone good for corn as well as soybeans out there, so it's starting to kind of confirm a little bit those numbers that the USDA put out there last week on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you said, the silver lining is we're not going to have to worry about paying for dry down. But this continued dry weather and not much in the way of precipitation, did that hurricane last week change anything, John, on the Mississippi as far as transporting this harvest?
Unfortunately, no. You know, that water needs to flow down from the northern part into the Memphis area. The rain fell into that area and basically drains away, you know, very, very quickly. You know, the biggest problem is on the Ohio River side of the river, and that's where the water levels are extremely low because of, if you look at the drought monitor maps, Ohio, Kentucky, and that region has been very, very, very dry. And we've been continuing to hear that. And actually, if you look at the USDA's numbers and they put their yield forecast, the three states that basically make up the Ohio River Valley all were reduced month over month in terms of their yield projections. So that's where the issue is. So we're going to need to see some good rainfall come across the entire Corn Belt. And that's only going to be the only thing to get that river level back up. You know, right now that's adding extra cost to the freight. That's getting put in terms of the cost going to the export market. And we are starting to see some drops here now. This is normally a window. We really need to see soybeans get moving out. And last week for both corn and soybeans, those export inspections numbers were relatively soft in this time frame.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Toll-free number if you want to talk to John or any of the risk management staff, 800-334-9779. Big topic that's going to be burning up airwaves everywhere, John. What's going to be happening with our interest rates? This has been talked about and talked about and talked about. We finally might be near some action, but what does that mean for us, either on the commodity side or the markets in general?
Well, obviously, the equity markets have been pricing in a rate cut here for quite a while, and actually pushing Dow futures to new highs yesterday, S&P challenging those most recent highs again here this morning. You know, there's even chatter now that they may go to a full half point. I saw yesterday that 67% chance. So it'll be interesting. That comes out on Wednesday, how the market reacts. Hopefully it's not a, you know, buy the rumor, sell the fact mentality, which it very well could be, just given the calendar here, because a lot of the equity markets, options, futures, things like of that nature are on the September contract, and they expire this week on Friday. So it could be a pretty volatile end of the week in the equity markets. If obviously the equity markets are rolling, that's going to keep the money there, not bringing money over into the commodity markets. I still think that's something we need to watch here, because the gap between the value in equities and the discount in the commodity markets is extremely wide. But right now the money wants to go where it's working well. And unfortunately, at that time frame, or this time frame, it is in the equity markets in terms of gaining value.
All right. So one area that has been an Achilles heel for agriculture all year and doesn't seem to be changing, the export scene. Have we seen any pickup, any stories at all there we can point to?
You know, we've seen a nice pickup in the demand when corn got down to 385, beans went down to 950. All of a sudden we saw China step into that soybean market, and we saw more activity in the corn export market. Still none of that, though, from China. Mexico has been basically our savior this year in terms of buying that corn. But the problem is those, you know, they got our targets up and got things moving a little bit, but we're still just lacking that overall big purchases that we really need. Even the Chinese demand on soybeans, it's nice, but we need to see sales in the 500,000, 600,000, 800,000 metric tons, not these drip sales of 132,000 or something of that nature. Those are very, very routine purchases, so it just feels like China wants to look at its minimum at this time frame. And that's something this market can be very concerned about, especially after the first of the year.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. We only have limited window of normal sales. And so what, January 1st, January 31st, we're tapped out.
Yeah, very much so. And again, throw in there shipping issues that could be coming in this time frame. Like I said, the majority of our soybeans are shipped between now and the end of November. So if obviously the river is an issue there, you know, obviously we can move things out of the Pacific Northwest, but that's going to be something that could be really a concern to the market as we get into the spring.
Yeah. All right. Tough to find much silver lining on this dusty story this morning, though. Hey, John?
Yeah, right now, you know, with harvest pressure, it's going to be one of the biggest things, but it's a bit of a tough market in this global situation in terms of supplies is definitely heavy.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week, John. Have a good day.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. We appreciate him so much for all the technical challenges that we overcame, but you can find him online, totalfarmmarketing.com. Also, feel free to reach out to him if you've got personal questions you want him to resolve. That number, 800-334-9779. 800-334-9779. See you tomorrow morning, folks.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Today, another story of an on-farm hazard survivor on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
When Jerry Nelson's manure pit pump jammed on his Volga, South Dakota dairy farm, he thought he'd climb down and free the jam quickly. As he did so, he started to feel dizzy.
I began to immediately climb out of the pit, and I was just about to the top. I could see the sky and I could hear the old tractor idling when everything just sort of faded to black.
Fortunately for Jerry, his father found him soon after and called 911. Nelson was rushed to a hospital in nearby Brookings and later airlifted to Sioux Falls.
When I got there, they discovered I had a collapsed lung, and they said I had the lung capacity of perhaps an infant at that time.
Hydrogen sulfide gas had damaged his lungs. Nelson spent 5 weeks in the hospital, much of it in intensive care. That was back in 1988.
Every day I wake up is a bonus. Every day is an extra day that, you know, because I was basically told I had almost no chance to live. If I can get someone out there to just think twice before they do this thing, just a second's hesitation might be all it takes to save you from something like I've suffered.
You can find out more about Nelson's story online at tellingthestoryproject.org. And as National Farm Health and Safety Week continues, another survival story tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we'll take your phone calls, ask what's grinding your gears, and more of our Text to Win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and some real talk about retirement savings, namely why you need it. Now, when I talk to folks who don't yet have retirement savings, I often hear things like, I don't want to retire. I'm going to work as long as I can. And look, I get it. And I have talked with thousands of people like me who love what they do or love working, or folks who just don't want to cut back on their spending. But check this out. Only about 20% of us are going to work past the age of 65. Whether it's because our industries change, or because our health takes a turn, or we want to care for our grandkids, who knows? And that is why it's important to start putting away even a little bit right away and getting yourself on a path towards a retirement plan. It's an investment in you and your future, no matter what the future holds. That is today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube and take good care.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry.